Aprendamos, por tanto, a dejar de ser súbditos de la infelicidad para crearla con nuestras propias manos y voluntades. Muchas personas con trastornos mentales ven pisoteada su dignidad. La atención de salud mental significa mucho más que simplemente tratar los síntomas. Significa fortalecer la capacidad de los agentes de salud mental para apoyar a las personas con trastornos mentales, a fin de que puedan hacer realidad sus esperanzas y sueños. Trabajar, disfrutar de familia y amigos y vivir una vida plena y satisfactoria en su comunidad. Ayúdese usted y ayude a su familia. El curso educativo de NAMI de familia a familia en español será ofrecido el próximo lunes 16 de abril en el área de New Jersey. Si desea más información, visite nuestra página de Facebook o llame al 201-861-0614. Repito, 201-861-0614. Me despido hasta la próxima semana. Lauren Feliciano, fue un placer estar con ustedes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump is determined to punish Syrian President Bashar Assad for the latest use of chemical weapons in the country's ongoing civil war. That's at least according to one top American diplomat. Former Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman joined Fox News to talk about his reaction to the attack and where he believes former President Obama went wrong in dealing with Syria.
Just outrage, horror. I mean, Assad, frankly, is what the president called him. He's an animal. He's a brutal dictator, and his response to his own people asking for more freedom and opportunity was to start killing them, including with gas. So I think one of the big mistakes President Obama made was drawing that red line, if
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! Information today on how our troops and our nation are at unnecessary risk. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. We welcome United American Patriots as a show sponsor. You may not believe it, but our nation has imprisoned a number of combat veterans for the crime of killing the enemy in combat. Yeah, it's true, and United American Patriots help get these innocent troops out of prison. I'm honored to be partnering with them. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Well, sadly, it's been a rough week for military aviation this week, Colonel. We'll get more to that in the news coming up, but I do have a couple of things that I am thankful for. First, our partnership with United American Patriots. Hoorah! And second, you always know it's going to be a good show when you've got a Navy SEAL hanging out on Front Lines of Freedom.
Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks happy. We'll hear from him as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking like a happy camper. Been camping, Skip?
Colonel, look out the window. It just snowed this morning. So no camping for about another month.
Oh, that white stuff. Is that what that is?
Yeah. We got it quite bad, and we may get some more.
Well, but here in Michigan, that's normal.
For April, yeah.
Okay. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to support John Bolton in his new role as National Security Advisor. Then we're going to talk with Marine vet Fred Galvin. He led a Marine Special Operations outfit that did their job well in combat and then got blamed for doing what they were sent in to do. Yeah, this is nuts. Then we're going to discuss Operation Pelican with Mary Fanning. This is the infiltration of our nation's ports by Russia and their friends with the support of the previous presidential administration. This places our nation at huge risk. And you'll enjoy meeting former Navy SEAL Jesse Barnett as he discusses protecting yourself and your organization.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Lead out, Josh. What's first?
On Tuesday, a Marine Corps Harrier crashed shortly after takeoff near the runway at Camp Lemonnier in Djibouti. The pilot ejected safely. That same day, a Marine Corps CH-53E Super Stallion helicopter crashed near El Centro, California. All four crew members on board were killed. Then on Wednesday, the number 4 slot pilot for the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, Major Stephen Del Bagno, was killed while performing a routine training exercise after departing Nellis Air Force Base. Major Del Bagno's F-16 went down around 10:30 a.m. during a routine aerial demonstration training flight over the remote Nevada Test and Training Range. 3 crashes, 5 service members dead, all within 48 hours. Right now, there are a lot of questions, and as it goes in aviation, investigating the cause of each crash takes time. Answers don't usually come quick and easy. The Thunderbirds' participation at this weekend's March Field Air and Space Expo has been canceled. Their next scheduled appearance is next weekend in Lakeland, Florida, at Sun and Fun. It remains to be seen if they'll be ready to perform by then. Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, the personal physician to President Trump, was not his first choice to replace fired VA Secretary David Shulkin, according to the White House. White House Deputy Press Secretary Lindsay Walter told reporters, quote, "The president did have some early individuals that he was looking at, but continuously went back to Dr. Jackson to fulfill this role as VA secretary," end quote. She said the president ultimately decided that Jackson's healthcare experience, his distinguished career in the medical profession, was something that would be beneficial at the VA. Walters added that Trump has full confidence in Admiral Jackson to fulfill the demanding job at the VA, despite his lack of experience in running large organizations. Walters did not name the others who were considered to head the VA. The surprise announcement of his nomination, his status as a relative unknown on Capitol Hill, and the ongoing turmoil at the VA indicate Jackson will have little in the way of a honeymoon period if he is confirmed by the Senate.
I know little about Admiral Jackson, but he clearly has the confidence of the president, and he didn't make admiral by being a wallflower. I'll look forward to seeing him move the VA further towards competency.
Despite a recent White House memo announcing the intent to ban most transgender people from military service, ongoing court cases are keeping the military in a holding pattern on the issue. While Defense Department officials say nothing has changed or will change regarding transgender recruitment or retention until the courts decide, a debate continues to range over just what the costs and implications are allowing transgender troops to serve openly. Several active-duty transgender troops, including an officer who advised the Pentagon's panel of experts on the matter, said the costs and risks are not as high as some have claimed. A Pentagon spokesman said, "We will continue to access and retain transgender individuals in compliance with the rulings of our four federal courts, despite directives from President Trump and Defense Secretary Mattis, based on the recommendations of a thus far secret Pentagon panel of experts."
Folks, the only reason we have a military is to kill people and break things. While we hope they won't ever have to do these things, the primary focus of everything in our military must be combat readiness. Transgender people do not make our military more combat ready, and they could make it less so because of their medical or other needs or abilities. Our military is not about equal opportunity. It's about combat readiness, period.
About 20,000 men, women, and children attended a mass rally calling for the Palestinian right of return to Israel. This was done along a Gaza border wall, and the Israeli Defense Force prevented border breaches and dispersed the violent riots. Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas said that Israel is responsible for the deaths of Gazan protesters who participated in the riots near the border fence, and that he will demand protection from the UN and the Security Council. The U.S.'s decision to recognize Jerusalem as the Israeli capital angered many in the Arab and Muslim world, leading some Palestinians to argue that the U.S. may no longer be a suitable peace negotiator between Israelis and Palestinians.
Given that the continuing demand of all the Palestinians and the other radical Muslim groups is that all Jews have no rights and must be killed, that does make negotiations rather difficult. And, as we've discussed on this show before, the most recent research done by Muslim scholars in Egypt shows that Jerusalem and Israel were never a part of the original Muslim territory. This shows that the Palestinian claims were not factually based. And by the way, fellow Americans, do note that this wall in Israel works very well, an indicator that a good wall on our Mexican border would work well too.
Last month, South Korea received the first of its F-35A stealth fighter jets to scale up the country's defense capabilities against threats from North Korea. At a rollout ceremony, South Korea and the U.S. unveiled the aircraft at the Lockheed Martin assembly line in Texas. Seoul purchased 40 of the fifth-generation warplanes in 2014 in a $7 billion deal. The F-35A is South Korea's first fighter jet capable of evading radar detection and is expected to play a critical role in the country's kill chain system. The kill chain program aims to launch preemptive strikes on North Korea upon detecting an imminent missile attack. The warplane is capable of infiltrating North Korea's elaborate air defense network to target missile launch sites and factories, as well as Kim Jong-un's personal residence. With a maximum speed of Mach 1.8 and a flight range of 2,220 kilometers, the jet can carry up to 8 tons of missiles and precision-guided bombs. It can also disturb radar signals from North Korea by collecting frequency information. South Korean pilots and maintenance staff will be trained at Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona. The first planes will be delivered to South Korea in early 2019. The rest of the jets will be delivered over the next 3 to 4 years.
This sale is a great move that will definitely send a message to both North Korea and their main supporter, China. And that's the news. Folks, you know I'm a decorated combat veteran. During my time in combat in Vietnam, I led and encouraged my troops to kill the enemy. That's why we were there. But over the last 9 years, some of our troops have been jailed for doing just that. That's why I'm proud to have United American Patriots as a show sponsor. We need to free those prisoners. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll discuss abuse of some brave Marine special operators by our Pentagon. At ease, troops, take a break. United American Patriots wants to spread the message of hope across the United States by providing service members that have been wrongfully accused of war crimes during overseas tours and combat area deployments with civilian attorneys at no cost to themselves or their families, to support them until they're released, and to get these heroes back to where they belong with their families. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This report is brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Americans' total credit card debt continues to climb, with the average household carrying a credit card balance of over $15,000. According to NerdWallet's American Household Credit Card Debt Survey, 61% of Americans who have ever owned a credit card have carried a balance from 1 month to the next. I'm Andrea Warrock, ambassador for Marcus by Goldman Sachs. To get your financial house in order this spring, explore your options when it comes to paying off credit card debt. If you carry a balance on one or multiple cards, consider consolidating debts by taking out a personal loan. You can find these loans online with lenders such as Marcus by Goldman Sachs, which offers no-fee, fixed-rate personal loans to help consumers with good credit pay off high-interest, variable-rate credit card debt. For more information, please visit www.marcus.com. That's www.marcus.com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the Mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from its national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Regular listeners who have heard Ambassador John Bolton as a guest on this show for more than 10 years know that I really admire this great man. Indeed, I even kicked off a Bolton for President movement a few years ago. So let me assure you that our president has found a national security advisor whose top priority, sure enough, is security of this country. His name is well known to those who follow televised news and opinion, for he's been around for what seems like forever and brings to the job a well-honed set of skills. He can deliver well-worn cliches with the best or worst of diplomats. He declared it was an honor to accept this latest appointment and was looking forward to working with President Trump and his leadership team to make, quote, our country safer at home and stronger abroad. Wow. Happily, he won't need to be confirmed by the Senate, for what goes on in the Oval Office between a president and his national security advisor should stay in the Oval Office. But there's no doubt that Bolton knows the ropes. He should by now, having served in the administrations of Presidents Reagan and both Bushes. Among the several ways to judge a person's fitness for office are the enemies he's made. In this case, it's liberals, neocons, and some Republicans, all with differing worldviews and questionable foreign policy experience. And these opponents say more about his qualifications than those who support him. I think one of the reasons the liberal media, the foreign policy establishment, and others oppose Bolton is because he's a clear thinker. He's not an appeaser. He believes in nations and terrorists who publicly proclaim their desire to destroy America should be taken seriously and that planning should be done to ensure that that destruction doesn't happen. Peace through strength has worked before, and Bolton believes it can work again. Strength is what deters bullies, not trying to understand their hostility towards America, as Hillary Clinton once recommended. About diplomatic dealings with Iran, Bolton has said, quote, when you have a regime that will be happier in the afterlife than in this life, this is not a regime that is subject to classic theories of deterrence. On the strategy known as negotiation, Bolton is quoted as saying, negotiation is not a policy, it's a technique. It's something you use when it's to your advantage and something you don't use when it's not. And there's no such thing as the United Nations, he said. If the UN building in New York lost 10 stories, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. But then Bolton's an equal opportunity when it comes to dysfunctional bureaucracies. Quote, you could take several stories off the buildings of most U.S. government agencies and that we'd probably all be better off for it. The media does love to attach labels to Bolton. Among them are hawkish, dangerous, and hardline. Given the kind of threats we face from enemies who better fit those adjectives, John Bolton seems like an ideal pick to advise the president. He says our president's decision to meet with the North Korean leader is the diplomatic equivalent of shock and awe tactics. He envisions President Trump's message to the North Korean counterpart as simple. Tell me you have begun total denuclearization because we're not going to have protracted negotiations. You can tell me right now or we'll start thinking of something else. And you might say he believes that any talk with Pyongyang should be short and sour. When it comes to Iran, that breeding ground of terrorism throughout the Middle East, Bolton would advise the president to cancel any current deal with Tehran and work for the overthrow of that regime. Our goal should be regime change in Iran, period, end of message, and boy do I agree. And, as he explained, we push Russia on its support for Syria, its alliance with Iran, its undermining of North Korean sanctions, and its coordination with China to thwart the West. In Bolton's worldview, Russia is a part of a larger set of challenges that must be addressed together. Our adversaries form a network that works together in complex ways. Bolton asserts that China and Russia, quote, fly wingmen for each other at the UN and have a de facto territorial division of labor around the world. It does look like it. The Russia-Iran alliance in Syria poses a threat to the region, Bolton said, which means the U.S. can't credibly partner with Russia against terrorism. Quote, this Russian penetration of the Middle East has had very significant consequences. They are aligned with the world's most important financier of terrorism. And meanwhile, Iran and North Korea are cooperating on the ballistic missiles and perhaps also in the area of nuclear technology. That means the problems are linked, Bolton said, and one can't be solved without the other. After the war in Iraq, which Bolton still defends, North Korea and Iran continued and continued in a way that demonstrates the vitality of the metaphor, axis of evil, he said. I hope it's clear why I fully support John Bolton in this new position? And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What you got this week, Roland?
Colonel, the Army is saying there's a disturbing new trend of new soldiers lacking in both proper discipline and physical fitness. So the Army's considering changing basic training. Today, basic combat training is a 10-week program that is split into three stages. The first stage, called the Red Phase, encompasses the first 3 weeks of training. During this stage, recruits begin to learn drills and ceremonies, the seven Army core values, unarmed combat, and first aid. Recruits are also introduced to the standard-issued weapons, such as the M16 and M4 rifles. Phase 2, known as the White Phase, is where soldiers begin target practice with their rifles and become acquainted with other weapons, like grenade launchers and machine guns. The recruits also complete a timed obstacle course and learn to work alongside other soldiers. The final phase, or Blue Phase, sees the soldiers complete the Army physical fitness test, learn nighttime combat operations, and go on 10 and 15 kilometer field marches. After passing all their tests, the recruits graduate from basic training and move on to advanced individual training, where they focus on specific skills in their field. The ultimate goal of basic training is to strip a civilian of civilian status and put them in a military mindset. And it seems that the biggest concern for the Army today is the ability to meet the challenges in the next decade. This includes both combating terrorism and potentially facing off against other large, highly trained militaries. And that all starts with physical fitness. So the Army is looking at several initiatives, such as a new physical fitness regimen and extending basic training to 12 weeks instead of the current 10 weeks. This new 12-week basic training will place an added focus on strict discipline and a spirit de corps through a greater emphasis on drills and ceremonies, inspections, and military history. It will also concentrate heavily on crucial battlefield skills such as marksmanship, physical fitness, first aid, and communications. The Army is also considering replacing the current 3-event combat readiness test with a 6-event test to better prepare recruits for the physical challenges of the Army warrior task and battle drills, which is the key skills soldiers use to help them survive in combat. You know, throughout the history of basic training, it's always been about push-ups, sit-ups, and the 2-mile run. And that's just not a true test of fitness. The new 6-point test will focus more on core strength and cardio. You know, the Army has two simple jobs. Number one, kill people. And number two, break things. If these new initiatives are what is needed for the Army to complete those tasks, then I say bring it on. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciate you. You're a great guy. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with former Marine Special Operator Fred Galvin. Then we're going to talk about Project Pelican, a huge threat to America. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25, then stand at ease.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized. More alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. Designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code HAPPY.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump is determined to punish Syrian President Bashar Assad for the latest use of chemical weapons in the country's ongoing civil war. That's at least according to one top American diplomat Former Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman joined Fox News to talk about his reaction to the attack and where he believes former President Obama went wrong in dealing with Syria.
Just outrage, horror. I mean, Assad, frankly, is what the president called him. He's an animal. He's a brutal dictator, and his response to his own people asking for more freedom and opportunity was to start killing them, including with gas. So I think one of the big mistakes President Obama made was drawing that red line, if Assad uses gas, we'll respond. He used gas, and we didn't do anything.
And moments ago, President Donald Trump welcomed the Emir of Qatar to the White House, where they pledged to fight terrorism and the funding of terrorism. This is USA Radio News.
Attention, ladies. Is your bladder bothering you or controlling your life? Do you want to sleep through a night without getting up all the time? Do you want to keep your active lifestyle, freedom, without looking for bathrooms all the time, plus regain your confidence? Well, now you can with Better Woman. Better Woman is an all-natural supplement specifically formulated with 20 pure Chinese herbs. It works to improve your bladder control with no side effects or harsh chemicals. Better Woman has been helping women with bladder control problems since 2002. Thousands have trusted us. We want to help you. Call right now and learn how to get a free bonus bottle, a $45 value, and join thousands of women to get your bladder control back. Better Woman is freedom in a bottle. Call now and find out how to get a free bonus bottle of Better Woman.
800-897-5406. 800-897-5406. That's 800-897-5406.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. And troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's now a pleasure to welcome a Marine combat veteran, Fred Galvin. Fred was among the first Marines to join the Marine Special Operations Command, or MARSOC, when it was formed. So, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Fred.
Thank you very much, sir. Glad to be here.
Fred, tell us how you made a decision to join the Marines. What is that, family tradition, or... How did you end up in the Marines, and what did you do?
Okay. It was not a family tradition, but it started kind of a roundabout way when our family took a trip out to the battlefields of the Revolutionary and Civil Wars. This happened when I was 10 years old over a summer trip. We went out and looked at several of the battlefields that our forefathers fought in Gettysburg, the winter encampment of George Washington at Valley Forge, Yorktown, and that is where, you know, as a 10-year-old boy, it was impressed in my mind that, you know, what I read in the history books came alive. I just could not imagine that American men made that kind of sacrifice, that people walked through the snow, worn-out shoes, stumps, bloody feet, and starving. They did all that for our freedom, and at 10 years old, I didn't know anything about the military, the Marine Corps, or anything. I just knew that that is unbelievable. It is something that I have to do. And throughout that process, it led up in high school. I became more determined. And a classmate told me about the Marine Corps. He said, if you want to really join and fight, you need to join the Marines. And I did that on my 17th birthday. So the week after high school, I found myself in Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego, California, and attended boot camp and served as an enlisted Marine, and that's how it all began.
You know, I was a war planner for a while, and one of my colleagues, co-workers, was a Marine. This is 35 or 40 years ago. One day he fell off his desk laughing so hard, he'd just gotten some kind of a weekly memo thing from Marine Corps headquarters. They'd done a study on why do guys join the Marines. A big part of it is people who have a family tradition. Well, they take that out, and they started looking at reasons why. The number one reason why people join the Marines, guys, was, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. My mother tells me what to do. My coach tells me what to do. I'll show them. I'll join the Marines. I wonder if they did a post-survey on how they like their freedom in the Marines. But it did make men out of people, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And it was a great experience. It really, really was. One of the posters I remember as a little kid that says is, we don't promise you a rose garden. It had this drill instructor face right in a recruit's face, and you know, if that's what you join for, if there are some people that join the service and they want they want some benefits. That's not what me and my friends did in the Marine Corps. You know, we knew we were kind of going to get a kick in the junk, and we expected it to be tough and, you know, to be meager accommodations. You're going to share in the suffering, and you're going to endure training in very hot, arduous conditions, and same thing in snowy, mountainous environments. And that's what we were looking for. And if the Marine Corps didn't offer that, I most likely would not have continued to have served. But that's what they offered, and that's what I was glad to have.
They delivered. Huh?
They did.
Okay, so talk about where did you serve, doing what? What were you, infantryman? What kind of jarhead were you?
I started out in out on the West Coast in a tank unit, actually, and that's what we deployed to Desert Storm when I was a corporal in 1990 and 1991. We went over on ships, and we had limited combat engagements in Kuwait in the areas of Al-Kafshi and Al-Wafra, and there was a lot of lessons that we did learn with technology that, you know, America had not seen before, night vision technology, GPS, and, you know, aviation assets integrating in real close proximities to those of us on the front lines. There were mistakes, you know, friendly fire. I saw that firsthand. That stuck in my head, and it was a promise that I made to myself that if I ever was in a position to, you know, lead and plan training, I will make sure that the equipment and the manpower and the procedures that we use are ironed out, and it's not just a strategy that we're going to go here and do this to impose our will on the nation's enemy, but that we are going to effectively and efficiently do it, limiting the loss of life. And that's something that I felt, just like my calling into the Marines by God, I felt that God truly meant for me to do this job. And one of the things I'll say, you know, there's not many things you can say you have a great track record, but I've never had anybody killed in combat. So or in training in 27 years. So, when your career starts in combat early on in a tank company and against a nation that at that time had the third largest military in the world at that time, and then you move into force reconnaissance and special operations, that's what God put on my heart. And that's one thing I did take as serious, and it led to, you know, working 18 to 20-hour days. Sleep deprivation was something I knew very well, not boasting, but, you know, God gives us talents. And just like it says in God's word, you know, he blesses us with those, and he expects us to use them to the very best of our ability.
You are 100% right, my brother. I could not agree more with that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing, or about to discuss, a disaster that happened to some of our Marine Special Operators with Fred Gavin. So, Fred, from there, you went on, you had a full career. Talk to us about MARSOC. When I was on active duty, there wasn't a Marine Special Operations. The Army had Green Berets and Rangers. The Navy had SEALs. The Air Force had their PJs. There were Special Ops pilots. But the Marines joined the team a little bit later, and that is the Marine Special Operations Unit, MARSOC. How were you involved with that?
Okay. So very, very briefly, not to give yourself, sir, or any of the listeners a long history lesson, but the Marine Corps, you know, prided itself on many of its traditions, such as, you know, Lieutenant Presley O'Bannon doing something that any Army Special Forces unit would be proud. You know, here's a young lieutenant leading an indigenous force in Tripoli, you know, in Libya, that goes and besieged, you know, the Royal Palace. And then they just did incredible, extraordinary things early in American history, and before we ever call anything special operations. So the Marine Corps has the mindset that we are special, and the Marines are, the training's tough. It's a cut above the training, and it's, you know, Marines carry themselves with that distinction. So I say that as background, that, you know, the Marines don't take, you know, it very proudly that when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in World War II was conversing with his peer, Winston Churchill, who had created out of the British Royal Marines, he created the British Royal Marine Commandos to wreak havoc in behind the German lines in their command and control headquarters. And FDR wanted the same thing, and he created a Marine Raider unit during World War II in February 1942. The Marines did not like that. And while those Marine Raiders fought for nearly 2 years across the South Pacific in some of the bloodiest battles of World War II in the Pacific, they disbanded. While FDR was still the president, they're pretty bold move by the Marine Corps to snub their nose and disband an organization while that standing president who created it was still in office. But that's exactly what happened in February of 44. And those Marine Raiders went on to serve, most of which with the 4th Marine Regiment, and they went on and fought in the Battle of Okinawa, the last land battle, major land battle in the Ryukyu Island chain. So I say that all as background. The Marine Corps did not like having an elite with an elite, and that's what General Vandergrift, he became the commandant, mentioned, you know, it's not in the best interest of the Marine Corps to have an elite within an elite. And very quickly, with a stroke of a pen, the Marine Corps disbanded the Raiders. In 1987, the year I joined the Marine Corps, like I mentioned, my peer in high school was like, you want to join a unit that's going to fight, you join the Marines. And, well, that same year, you know, I did not even know because there wasn't an internet back then. I was just in high school here, and all-boy high school, and we didn't have news, but they created the Special Operations Command in 1987, as you well know, sir.
Yep, and we'll discuss that when we come back. So yes. Stay tuned, troops. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break and stay in the area. Fred and I will be right back. Spartan Nash is proud to sponsor Front Lines of Freedom. As the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and exchanges in the world, our MDV military division exists to serve our military heroes and their families, both at home and abroad.
We see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it's our privilege to serve those who served at our 159 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations in 47 states.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 6565 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 6565.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Marine vet Fred Galvin about Marine Special Operations, and we're specifically going to talk about how a Marine Special Operation unit was not dealt with fair. So finish your conversation about the founding of MARSOC, Fred.
Yes. So when the Department of Defense founded Special Operations Command, all services participated with actual tactical units as well as component headquarters. You had the Army Special Operations Command that included the Rangers as well as the Army Green Berets, and you had the same thing in the Air Force and the Navy. The Marine Corps decided we're not going to join in the Special Operations Command in 1987. So there was a 25-year head start that all these other services had with funding and missions and in United States codes like laws that allow them to do things that conventional forces don't have. So it stayed status quo until we were attacked on September 11, 2001. And then at that time, President Bush and his Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, who had been a Secretary of Defense right after the Vietnam War had ended. So this was his second time in that position. And Rumsfeld had seen in Vietnam the effectiveness of the Special Operations Unit, and he knew going in to fight an insurgency where it takes precision skill, you want to limit collateral damage, the value of having these units, and he ordered all of the services and Special Operations Command, he ordered all the services to contribute more of their resources with manpower and material resources to create additional capacity in Special Operations. But the Marine Corps sat back and they said, well, we're going to do a proof of concept. And this actually took 3 years to see if the Marine Corps could actually find an organization to do what Special Operations do. And they did, and it's called Marine Corps Special Operations Command Detachment 1. They went to Iraq. They did very well. They delayed after that, and they disbanded the unit. And then Rumsfeld ordered the Marine Corps that Al Shall create a Special Operation component and a tactical unit. And then so that happened in December of 2005, I was a platoon commander preparing for my third combat deployment as a platoon commander. I was assigned to 1st Force Reconnaissance Company, and that was the elite of the Marine Corps. And I had previously served as a force recon platoon commander in another force recon command over in Okinawa, Japan, where I'd stayed over there for almost 3 years. Those units were the front line behind the enemy lines type of units that specialized in things that, like an Army Green Beret, what they call a CIF, a Commanders in Extremis Force, basically a precision raid force. So force reconnaissance did these precision raids or direct action assaults, as many people know them. And we did deep reconnaissance up to 300 kilometers behind enemy lines and getting there by high-altitude parachuting, insertion through submarines.
But you were a leader in MARSOC, and your team wasn't treated exactly right. Tell us that story.
Okay. I was in charge of the first Special Operations Task Force of the Marines. We went into Afghanistan, and we were on a mission in eastern Afghanistan along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. And on the morning of the 4th of March, 2007, we were on a threefold mission. The last phase was to conduct a tribal leader engagement in this village that was the first village next to the Pakistan border. We knew there was bad guys there. The rules of engagement, they were different than they were in Iraq. And you had to build this federal case to prosecute these enemies. We knew where the bad guys were. We knew all the information on them. But so we entered this town. It was lined on both sides of the road, sir, with fighting age men, no women, no children. They were staring at us. We knew they were looking for a fight. And then a car bomb blew up 5 feet in front of our second vehicle. It dropped the turret gunner. Our man who was manning the machine gun fell down in the turret. He was on fire. He hit with shrapnel. He stood to his feet. We had another enemy vehicle filled with four insurgents, jihadis, that were driving straight to T-bone that second vehicle that was just blown up in an attempt to finish it off as they were firing AK-47s from this vehicle. Our Marines in those first two vehicles stood up in their turrets and engaged that vehicle that was shown all over the New York Times and many other newspapers. So we got shot at after we got blown up on the left side of the road, then the right side of the road. We stayed there in the ambush site for 5 minutes, transmitting to our headquarters. They knew exactly what was going on from the minute we were ambushed. We decided we're not going to have tea with these guys. These are probably pretty bad. We knew there was four suicide bombers. One just went off on us. We're getting shot at from both sides of the road, bazaar, marketplace. So we returned to base. Within 20 minutes, when we dismounted from our vehicles back at our base, this was already on BBC, and then it continued to build momentum all across the international media, saying that we killed women and children, that we were drunk, that there were 19 dead Afghan civilians and 50 wounded. That just spread, you know, like wildfire across the press. And then the decision was made 5 days later to, and that was only after the investigating officer had been interviewing for 1 day. He interviewed the first two vehicles of our Marines, hadn't spoke to any Afghans, but that's when the decision was made to pull us and expel us out of Afghanistan. And later, the investigation, which was completed a month later, found that we should be charged with homicide, Article 134, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And then we went through a nine-month criminal investigation by NCIS that led to a three-and-a-half-week trial. And 4 months after that trial, on Memorial Day, the Friday night of Memorial Day weekend, it took them 4 months to adjudicate and state in non-legal terms there was never a innocent or a guilty or a dismiss. They said we acted appropriately on a Friday night of Memorial Day weekend, when one of the few days that the Pentagon takes actual 4 days off. And that was it. We went back to work, but what's happened afterwards, you know, our men were unable to get jobs. Men were not getting promoted, so they were pushed out of the service, much like in my personal case where you're not getting promoted, you hit service limitations, you leave, and then when you are on the outside, you were even accused of being a war criminal, even though they said you acted appropriately. The press continued to run that for seven more years until I retired, and then I went on the offense because they were constantly printing libelous stories, and that's when we started to set the record straight, which we're still involved in this process.
Okay. That sounds like something that's so vile that our fighting troops, guys who are out there doing their job to the best they knew how, are not only being vilified by the media, we got to sort of live with that, but that our leaders, our military leaders, our Pentagon isn't standing up for them. That is true. Outrageous.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what can listeners do? Should we write our congressman? What should we do?
There are several things. One of the most important that I would urge is for every listener to, you can go www.congress.gov and search for your representative on that website. You'll find them and contact either in person or over the phone or by email and urge your congressman or woman to support Congressman Walter Jones from North Carolina's 3rd District. He has sponsored House Resolution. That's H.RES.21, not H.R. So House Resolution 21, purpose of that is to have the Commandant of the Marine Corps publicly exonerate, you know, the MARSOC 7, the seven of us who were falsely accused of negligent homicide. That's something they can do. And also, you know, every congressman should be hearing, why are men and women, the sons and daughters of America, going downrange if they're not allowed to win? I mean, it's been 17 years. And before the war started in 2000, we had a debt of $5 trillion. Now it's over $20 trillion. That is a bigger threat than these jihadis, that we are not effective. Our strategies failed trying to win hearts and minds. But we need leaders in the military that can get the job done. And we need an end to this fourth branch of the federal government, which is the military-industrial complex, which is just going to spend more and more. That's our biggest expenditure is defense. I'm all for a strong defense, but I'm also for accountability and oversight. And when we're at $20 trillion and defense is our biggest spending, and our leaders can't effectively win against people that are wearing sandals and using AK-47s and homemade bombs, we've got problems.
You got it, Fred. That says it. Folks, what can you do? You can contact your congressman. If you lose track of how to do that, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll give you the information that Fred just gave you, or I'll put you in touch with him. Fred, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, but thank you especially for standing up for your troops. As a former combat leader myself, that's what we have to do. Thank you for doing it. I'm proud to call you friend.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning about the great threat to our nation called Project Pelican. Then we'll discuss how to protect ourselves with former Navy SEAL Jesse Barnett. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's spring. Go out and run some wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook. Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent HVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is appearing before the Senate today. Now, that is scheduled to begin here within the next few minutes. But Chuck Grassley, he's a Republican senator from Iowa. Senator Grassley had a chance to sit down and chat with Zuckerberg yesterday. Now, Grassley also believes it's up to Facebook to educate consumers regarding privacy issues.
If the companies will do it themselves to make sure that people know about the restrictions that they have on privacy, and are they going, once they have good rules, are they going to abide by those rules? Because quite frankly, they presumed they had those rules, but they didn't enforce them.
President Donald Trump canceled his travel plans this week to South America, choosing to stay in the United States to manage the U.S. response to Syria's apparent chemical weapons attack on civilians. The president canceled the trip at the urging of National Security Advisor John Bolton. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I'm not just a conservative talk show host. I'm a father of four kids. When we all send our kids to school each day, the second most important thing is that they get good grades. But the most important thing by far is they come home safe and sound in one piece. Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran thought the same thing. That's why he invented a product called Bullet Blocker. He invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a super successful company around safety products for your most precious assets, your kids and your family. Bullet Blocker is an American company. They custom make a ton of products, bullet-resistant backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, fleeces, briefcases. Bullet Blocker gives you the gift of life, clothing that looks cool but protects your children's life with the same coverage as police body armor. Everything works with Department of Education guidelines. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WAR to save 10% on your order. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
Could the U.S. economy's job creation be waning? USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
On the heels of a disappointing government jobs report for March comes a report showing that companies have announced plans to cut 60,000 jobs, an increase of 39% from a year ago. That report's coming from the private firm Challenger Gray & Christmas, which says taken together, the jobs report and the cuts report